Open your Bible somewhere. It's good. We'll eventually get to some scriptures here, but I want to continue talking about the heart. 2 weeks ago, I shared briefly on a biblical heart, and we took a little look at that and what the Bible describes as the heart and what our Western culture describes as the heart are not the same things. There are some similarities, but the biblical heart is interesting. It really means the core of us, all of us. I'm not going to go back into that, so if you want to listen to it, you can go on our YouTube channel and look through that. This morning specifically, I want to talk about the role of negative feelings. I mentioned a couple weeks ago in sharing this message on the heart that I think we don't do very well as Christians with negative feelings. And I don't think I've actually heard a sermon about negative feelings. It's just not something we talk about. We kind of avoid it. And, you know, it's kind of something that we feel like I shouldn't have them. So I'm going to do whatever I can to not have them. Or if I do, I'm going to feel ashamed. So we're going to talk specifically about that this morning, negative feelings, and a bit how to minister to them and how not to minister to them. I have witnessed, and you probably have as well, people trying to minister to the heart, and you know, sometimes we don't do a very good job of it. And I think part of it is because we really don't understand the biblical role of negative feelings. Why did God give us negative feelings? So next week, I actually want to address more specifically a heart that doesn't feel God and what causes that, how to minister to a shut down heart. But there's going to be some important things in there that could profoundly affect some folks, because I was profoundly affected by the Lord when I had an encounter, and I'm gonna share that with you next week. So Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance," or "guard your heart with all diligence," some translations say, "for from it flow the springs of life." When we don't treat our heart the way the Bible says that we should, or respect it, or guard it, or tend it like a garden, we have the ability to shut down, or at least turn to a trickle, life. We think that a lot of life and our joy comes from our external experiences, but most of it comes from our internal world. And if we don't understand the role of the heart, if we don't understand how we guard it, what we're supposed to do with it, what it is there for, we're probably not going to guard it very well. So let's look at that. What are the place of feelings? We all love good feelings. I love good feelings. We all love positive feelings, but what are the place of negative feelings? And what do we do with them? What does the Bible say? Now, we know we can't obey negative feelings all the time, but it's pretty clear in the Bible that it is unbiblical and unhealthy to ignore negative feelings. So we're not supposed to obey them, but we're also not supposed to ignore them. So we have to give them a certain place of honor. And what is that place of honor? What do we do with them? Feelings are a gift from the Lord. Negative feelings are actually a gift from the Lord if we treat them properly, if we do with them what the Bible says to do with them. So I want you to just imagine feelings in general. Imagine if we had a life with no feelings. I mean, some of us would say, well, that's a robot. But if you had free will with no feelings, I mean, imagine seeing your newborn baby. Those of us that have had kids, and you see your baby just being born and the intense feelings that you get. Imagine not having that connected to the birth of one of your children. Imagine not having any feelings when they laugh for the first time or smile at you for the first time. Imagine not really getting inspired or having any feelings of awe over the beauty of nature, a sunrise, a sunset, the beautiful mountains, whatever it is that you think is like, wow, look at that. Imagine not having any of those feelings. Celebration, joy, contentment, satisfaction in a goal accomplished. The feelings of peace, love, happiness, all those things. That's what makes us human. And what some of us don't realize is it's very, very possible to shut all those positive feelings down by a mistreatment of our negative feelings. So if we are not shut down, some of us have encountered people or at least ministered to some people that are pretty shut down or don't experience a lot of joy or a lot of the positive emotions in life. And again, we're going to address more of that specifically next week. But how do we help them? How do we help them? We have to understand the heart. So firstly, this is very, very important. Our feelings work on a scale. Let's just say the middle is zero. You're not really feeling anything. And then you have positive 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 10. And this side are really positive feelings. From 1 to 10, just pure joy, pure laughter, happiness, peace, whatever. We experience these positive things and we love this side. Well, our heart also has the capacity of going negative 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 10 with negative feelings, whether that's sorrow or anger or jealousy or bitterness or rage or whatever emotion you want to put in there that's in the negative category. And our heart, in order to be fully alive, we have to allow ourselves to experience those range of emotions. And what I did, and probably what some of you have done, and men have a tendency to do this more than women, is we don't like the negative feelings. We don't like the way they feel, or we don't know what to do with them. So we just decide in our heart, I don't want to feel this anger anymore. I don't want to feel this hopelessness anymore. I don't want to feel whatever negative thing I'm feeling anymore. And so we numb our heart, or we shut it down, or we harden it, as the Bible would say. It's really numbing. We numb our heart to those negative feelings, and they go away. And I experienced this. The negative feelings went away, and man, I felt so much better. I really was like, oh, thank God that worked. I don't feel that anymore. Wonderful. The only problem was when we harden our heart to negative feelings, we are hardening our heart, period, which means we are also hardening our heart and taking away our ability to enjoy the positive ones. So if I harden my heart on the negative side, you know, to -7 or -6 or -5, I don't feel any of those negative emotions that are really intense. I go, wow, that's awesome. Well, guess what I just did? I also can't feel the positive 5 and the positive 6 and the 7 and the 8 and the positive 10 feelings. Because I've hardened my heart to feelings in general. It's not possible to harden our heart to just negative feelings. Our heart does not work that way. So that's the first thing we need to understand. When we rob or do not allow ourselves to feel those negative feelings, we are actually stealing future joy. We're stealing future peace. We're stealing from future feelings of deep connection with those around us. How many of you want deep connection? I do. Most of us should. It scares some of us. But if we want deep connection, we have to have a soft heart that feels the negative too. And that's scary. It really is. It's scary. But we have no other choice. There is no other option. So we have to understand that. We can't run from negative feelings without doing damage to our entire life. Interestingly, addiction and a life without joy, let's just say someone that's not addicted, but a person that doesn't experience a lot of joy, they're both coming from the same place. And that is an unbiblical, unhealthy handling of past feelings. an unbiblical, unhealthy handling of past negative feelings. Here's an important truth. We must honor our feelings, but we can't let them be our master. We must honor our feelings, but we cannot let them be our master. Negative feelings are like a warning light on a car. How many of you love it when the red engine light comes on when you're driving down the road? I mean, isn't that just like the worst feeling ever, especially if it starts flashing and you're like, oh my God, is my car about to blow up? Right? You don't know what's going on, but what is that warning light telling you? Something is not right, and if you don't do something about it, catastrophic things are about to happen. That's how our negative feelings work. They are warning lights on the car of our life. Now, what we never do, hopefully you don't do this, is you see the warning light come on, the red engine light start flashing, and you just go, you know, let go of the wheel and take your foot off the gas and just say, I'll let you drive, right? We don't let the warning lights drive. We should not let our negative emotions drive us either. However, we cannot ignore them without catastrophic results later on. And we cannot harden our heart to them without negatively impacting our positive aspects of our life later on. The warning light is there to tell us something is not right and we need to take care of it. A warning light doesn't go on and then suddenly say, oh, never mind, it's fine, you know, it's all right, everything's okay, my mistake. It comes on for a reason, and it stays on until we fix the problem. And our negative feelings are the same way. When we ignore them, when we don't honor them, they don't go away. They don't go away. We may not feel them, we may not see them, but they don't go away. They just keep resurfacing. Why? Because we actually haven't taken care of the reason the warning light came on in the first place. We haven't taken care of it. We all hate the warning lights. We all hate it. But we're grateful for them, aren't we? We are grateful for them, even though we hate them. We don't like them. I'm grateful for them. Cars didn't used to have warning lights. You would just drive down the road and your car just blows up and there it is, it's dead. Now your car will say, your oil's a little low. You have to change your oil in 2,000 miles. Your whatever, your coolant is a little low, right? Our cars will give us warnings, will tell us way ahead of time problems that are coming. And some of us that have numbed our hearts, we don't get those subtle warnings anymore. We can't feel the subtle warnings. All we can experience is our car just suddenly break down. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Men especially will say this more than women. My marriage was fine, and then just one day it wasn't. Is that a true statement? No, it wasn't. Like, you can feel like it was fine. Maybe it's true you were acting fine and your spouse was lying to you, but in general, when people say that, you know, they say, my life was great, and then it suddenly fell apart. I have no idea why. I have an idea. You were probably ignoring the warning light. You were probably ignoring the warning light. Unfortunately, this is how many of us ignore our warning lights. Our hearts can be yelling, I'm not okay. Something is wrong. Our negative feelings are telling us, something is wrong, I'm not okay. But we don't like that. We think that negative feelings are bad. Negative feelings, we may say, are unbelief. Negative feelings are scary. So as long as we can quote scripture louder than our heart is saying, I'm not okay, our heart says, I'm not okay. And we say, but God is good. I'm not okay. But God is good. I'm not okay. But God is good. As long as we keep quoting scripture over the warning of our heart, we think that we're okay and that we're actually doing a really good Christian thing. Now, we need to quote scripture. We need to believe scripture, but that's like putting duct tape over the warning light of the car and saying, I fixed it. Have you ever done that? I've done that. Engine light's on. It's some sort of whatever. I'm sick of seeing that. Just put tape over it. right? It's not fixed. It's not fixed. And that doesn't fix it. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of Christian ministry that somebody comes and is spilling their heart and telling the fruit of what's going on the inside, and we just quote scripture at them like that's going to fix it. All we did was put Christian duct tape over the warning light of somebody's heart instead of saying, okay, let's pop open the hood and find out why that's there. Unfortunately, we do it to ourselves too. When we do that to ourselves, when we just keep quoting truth in order to ignore the warning lights of our heart, these negative feelings, trying to shove them down or stuff them down or try and make them quiet, when we don't get to the root issue, it creates an exhausting life. Because the reality is that spiritual duct tape we're putting over the warning light, as soon as you stop putting the tape on, you can see it again. So as soon as you stop quoting scripture and quoting scripture and quoting scripture and you actually be still, there's the warning light again. So you have to maintain that level of constantly trying to ignore it. And that's a very exhausting spiritual exercise. What we are doing is we are not honoring a God-given gift of a warning light. We're not honoring it. We're ignoring it. And it always ends in disaster. It always ends in disaster. Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So how many of us think that if we just duct tape that guy's mouth, we fix the problem? Duct taping a mouth does not change the heart, right? And that's what many of us do. We ignore what our heart is telling us. We duct tape the mouth of our heart and we think we fix the problem. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We need to honor it. One of the earliest revelations as a new Christian that God gave to me, he said, Stacy, if you have the fruit, you have the root. If you have the fruit, you have the root. So the fruit in this case would be the warning light. And the warning light is pointing to a root problem that we shouldn't ignore. If we stuff the fruit, if we ignore the fruit, if we deny the fruit, if we stuff the negative feelings, ignore the negative feelings, deny the negative feelings, we're convincing ourselves that we don't have a root, that we don't have a problem, and we're living in self-deception. Let's take jealousy, for example. Doesn't matter how much someone tells me that they believe God is a good father and that he's generous, and that they are secure in his love, if they have jealousy, guess what? Their minds believe all the proper theological things, but that warning light of jealousy is a fruit that says there's a root here, there's a problem. Our minds can believe right theological things, but the fruit of jealousy tells us, my heart does not believe that God is generous. My heart does not believe that God loves me as much as he loves everybody else. My heart does not believe that I am as valuable as anybody else in this world. Jealousy is a warning light. And if we ignore that jealousy, we're living in self-deception. We're convinced that my heart is one way when it's actually not. My heart is beautiful when it's full of weeds. We can't ignore this stuff. We end up being spiritual hypocrites on accident. Here's another truth. Our hearts are almost always right. Our hearts are almost always right. I didn't say true, okay? There's a difference between right and true. Our hearts often are not perceiving truth. God's truth. God's truth about me, God's truth about other people. Our heart is often not accurately perceiving truth. However, our hearts are right. And what I mean by that is if I have a jealous heart, that is not my heart saying, that person's worth more than you. That's not truth that God loves other people more than you. It's my heart saying, this is what's in my heart. It's accurate. It's an accurate assessment of my heart. Jealousy is an accurate assessment of my heart. So the feelings of jealousy are right about what? Not the world, not God, not my perception about God, about my heart. Our hearts don't often lie to us. You know, they sometimes. Demons can give you negative feelings. You can have circumstances and have negative feelings. However, often our hearts are just telling the truth about what's going on deep down inside. It's our heads that don't agree with it. It's our heads that don't believe it's there. Or our religiosity says, you can't feel that way. That's not faith. And then you ignore it, stuff it down, put spiritual duct tape over it, and now you're an accidental hypocrite. I'm only confessing, okay? I'm not talking about any of you, just me. I'm confessing. Yes. Right. I'll get to that. I'll get to that. And it's true. We can't trust our heart when it comes to things about God, when it comes to things about our perception with the world. Our heart isn't what tells us the truth about the world or about God. It is God's word and God alone who tells us about who he is and about who we are. So when it comes to the world and other people and our perceptions, our heart is often very wrong. It's God who says, this is how you should think. This is who you are. This is who they are. This is why the world is the way it is. This is who I am. This is who the devil is. It's scripture that tells us truth. However, we cannot ignore our heart. Our heart tells us about me. My heart tells me about me. So when God says the heart is deceptively wicked, meaning your heart does not know the truth about me, says the Lord. I know the truth about me. Let me tell you the truth about me. Because there's lots of other scriptures, and I'll read a bunch, that would contradict that premise that you just can't trust the heart, period, and you need to ignore it. Because that's not scriptural either, so we'll jump into that. So again, our heart is not theologically accurate, okay? Our heart is not theologically accurate. However, it often is right when it comes to showing us what's going on the inside of us, okay? Jealousy is an inaccurate picture of God. Jealousy is an inaccurate picture of my self-worth and my value. Jealousy is an inaccurate picture of me relative to others. However, jealousy is 100% accurate about what's going on in my heart. It's just my heart bearing fruit that reveals you don't actually believe this. You know in your head, but your heart does not. The core of your being does not believe this. That's what jealousy is. And we would ignore that feeling to our own detriment. We would ignore that feeling to our own self-deception. Does that make sense? Having negative thoughts is not sin. Ignoring them or allowing them to stay there forever, though, is. Ignoring them or allowing them to stay there forever is. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. But self-control it's often evidence that the triggers in our hearts have been removed. I'll say that again. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. When we have self-control, it's evidence that the Holy Spirit has been working within us and removing triggers within us. We don't get triggered by stuff very easily. Jesus didn't get triggered. No one ever made him mad, right? No one can make you mad. You let yourself be mad. No one can make you get mad. You can't make Jesus get mad. He has self-control. He doesn't have that trigger. So self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, but self-control can also be a religious cover-up for stuffing our feelings. I have lots of self-control because I harden my heart to all the negative stuff. So guess what? I don't have triggers because I don't feel anything. Right? Yeah, white-knuckling your life. From the outside in, it looks like you have self-control. But all you have actually is a really shut down heart. And the fruit will come out. The fruit will come out. So, looks can be deceiving. If we ignore our hearts, we're risking living a life of deception. If we are living in fear, the reality is we can think we trust God, but we actually don't. So fear is another one. There's some godly fear that keeps us from danger, but if we're living a fearful life, it's a negative emotion, and it's actually revealing that our heart does not believe the same things that our head does. And we shouldn't ignore that. We shouldn't. We need to open the hood and say, what is going on in my heart? What's really in there? Okay? Ignoring fear is putting spiritual duct tape over it. So to be a hypocrite, it's actually a word in the Greek, it means to be an actor or a pretender. Jesus said not to be a hypocrite, and he called the Pharisees hypocrites. He says you're actors and you're pretenders. Now, us good Christians would never be a hypocrite on purpose because we know that's not good. But since many of us are taught that negative feelings are bad and we feel guilty when we have them, we ignore the warning light and end up behaving in a hypocritical way. That's what Sue had spoke about a little bit. We become accidental hypocrites by ignoring what's really going on in our hearts and thinking in our head we got it all together. Here's another truth. God can't heal our masks. God can't heal our masks. Why? He can't heal something that's not real. Our masks are make-believe. They're a projection of something we want the world to see. They're often a self-defense mechanism sometimes. God can't heal our masks because they're not the real us. He can only heal the real me. So we have to take our masks on. He can show us the mask is there. But we have to take the masks off. And part of the way we take the masks off is actually being honest with our feelings. Being real with our feelings. Honoring them. Not obeying them. Not worshiping them. Not letting them control our life. But saying, thank you, fear, for showing me that there's a problem in the engine of my life. I will take care of that. And amazingly, when we honor our negative feelings, they will often go away if we're intent to actually do something about it. If we don't fix the problem, they come back. So God can't heal our masks. This is the amazing thing about, you know, sinners, quote-unquote sinners. They don't have a right theological answer for stuff. So in general, they don't have as many masks as we do. They don't know that there's a wrong theological answer to something. They don't know they're not supposed to be mad at God. We can read scriptures where people were mad at God. They were mad at God. God didn't strike them with lightning bolts. They admitted it. But many of us, no way, I can't feel that. Their sinners are just honest. So our feelings don't need to be obeyed, but they need to be acknowledged. That is the job of a warning light, to be seen and acknowledged. When the problem is fixed, the warning light goes away. So the holy, infallible, inerrant Word of God has lots and lots of examples of prescribed times of grieving, people pouring out negative emotions to the Lord, and there's even songs of lament, of basically kind of complaining. Some of them are just complaining. There's actually songs in here that God's people memorized and they sang that are just complaints. They're called songs of lament or mourning or crying out. There are around 40 psalms, 40 psalms of individual lament. and around 15 community or national songs of lament. 55-ish psalms that are just negative feelings, gushing out. If we're not supposed to be feeling them, why in the world would God give us songs to sing about them? What are they for? Many of them are theologically incorrect. Many of them. We're going to read a couple here. They are theologically incorrect. But so what are they there for? They're not there to teach us theology. They're there to help us express our emotions and get our feelings out. And they're a biblical example, a healthy way to do it. So let's look at a couple of them. Psalm 22:1. This is very famous. Jesus quoted it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me, God? That is a prayer. That's a scripture. That's a song that the Jews would sing. It's something Jesus cried out, God, why have you abandoned me? And God says, I'll never leave you or abandon you. So is it theologically correct? No, it's not. So what's it there for? To give us voice to the way we could be feeling. Is it okay to say, God, what in the heck? Where are you? I don't see you working. Yes, it is. If you feel that way and you're not voicing it, is that healthy? No, it's not. It's not. Psalm 44:23. Awake. Why are you sleeping, Lord? Rouse yourself. Don't reject us forever. Why are you hiding your face? Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. Like that's like, oh, I'm mourning and I can't even stand up. God, what in the heck? Where are you? You don't care. I know it. That's not theologically correct, but it's in the Bible. We're supposed to express these things. Psalm 137:7, remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundations. God, don't forget that. They said that. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done. Vengeance is going to be sweet. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones or your children and smashes their heads against the rocks. Whoa. Wow. That goes against a lot of things Jesus said. A lot of things Jesus said. So what do we do with that? Why is it there? It's definitely not there to teach us, yeah, it's fine to bash your enemy's children's heads on the rocks. No. It's there again to give voice to this is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on in me. We have biblical example for this. Many of us, we would never admit something like that. We would never. We would feel that way, but we would never say it out loud. We would never admit we're feeling that way because it's not Christian. But ignoring it, put duct tape over it. It didn't change my heart. It didn't change my heart. We need to acknowledge it. Honesty with our emotions. God isn't scared of it. We are the ones that are scared of it. He already knows it's in there. It's amazing when we honor our emotions. It's like the warning light. That negative emotion just goes, oh, I got heard. Thank God. Oh, I got acknowledged. Thank God. We have to acknowledge it. I did my job. I did my job. A common pattern in the Psalms is a complaint to God and then a but Lord. I had a pastor friend. Actually, let me read this first and then I'll tell you. Psalm 13:1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. The example we have from Scripture is a lament, is pouring out emotions. God, this is how I feel within me. However, here comes the declaration of truth. But God, even though I'm feeling this way, you're good. But God, you are faithful. But God, you've been so good to me in the past. And God, you have given me hope in the future. And I know, even though it's not today, I will sing. I will sing. That is the biblical example of what we do with emotions. But the reality is, some of us live in the first part of that before the but. Oh God, you don't love me. My life is terrible. It's all just bad. And it's just complaining, complaining, whining, whining, self-pity, self-pity. And we never get to the but Lord. Some of us are so either scared of our negative emotions or religiously have been taught out of experiencing them that we would never confess that first stuff. We would never say that first stuff. We would just tell if an inkling of that first stuff came up, we'd say, shut up, heart. And then we start quoting the second half. You know, spiritual duct tape. Bam. I don't see you. You're not there because I can't see you. And then we go on with the second part. But a healthy emotional life, again, which leads to, believe it or not, spiritual maturity and the ability to experience abundant life has to be an honoring of our negative emotions. We have to listen to them at some point, at least for a little bit, enough to acknowledge, okay, I see there's a problem. So a pastor friend of mine, I have no idea if it was this scripture, but he taught on this. I didn't actually hear it, but he told me. He's like, yeah, I just did a sermon called Do You Have a Big Butt? And it was this. Do you have a butt? A butt Lord, right? Do you have a butt? Or are you just whining and complaining? Are you making declarations of truth? Do you have a butt? We won't talk about what's on the left side or the right side of the butt. I'm going to leave that one there. But do you have a butt? Do you have a big butt? Do you have a butt? If you don't have the first part, the pouring out of emotions, you don't need a butt. Right? You don't. So many of us tend to live on either side of those, but the biblical example in a healthy life is both. Okay? Oh man, I'm going to have to skip this part till next. I just want to read you a couple scriptures about Jesus. Here's a couple scriptures about Jesus. Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. That scripture in the Greek, it means sorrowful and distressed. The Gospel of Mark says he was utterly astonished. Luke says Jesus was in agony, so he began to be sorrowful and in agony, greatly distressed, so much so that he sweat blood. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful. Intensely sad, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. God was intensely sad, and he even told his friends, I am so incredibly sad, I feel like I'm going to die. How many of us are brave enough to admit that? How many of us would say, I can't say that. That's not a declaration of faith. What it was a declaration of honesty of what was going on in his heart. Was he not in faith? Jesus was always in faith. But notice what he also didn't say. He said, I am intensely sad, so much so that I'm going to die. You have to help me. Didn't say that. He said, I am so sad. I feel like I'm going to die. Please do something about it. Fix me. Did he say that? No. What did he say? Please be here. I just need you here. Just be here while I wrestle this out with my Father. He took responsibility for his emotions. He didn't put it off to somebody else to rescue him, to fix him, to hold me accountable. Not saying accountable is wrong, but sometimes it's an excuse for us to not take responsibility. It's your problem now. Hold me accountable. It's your problem now. He didn't do any of that, but he also did not deny how he was feeling. Jesus had some intense negative emotions. He was so angry one time, he premeditatedly made a whip and flipped over tables and started whipping tables and whipping people and saying, "Get this out of here." He experienced intense negative emotions. And he experienced intense positive ones too. He was fully alive. Fully alive. He was about to resurrect his friend. And his other friend Mary came just crying, "Jesus." It says, shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. He was about to resurrect the guy. But he let himself feel the emotion. He still wept because his friends were sad. He was sad. God is not afraid to be emotional. Going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But, nevertheless, but, not as I will, but as you will." Psalm 142:1. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. That's healthy. That's healthy. Psalm 43:5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. There's the but. Some of us need that first part, to pour out your complaint and your trouble before the Lord. Some of us need to be in that second part. We've been run by our negative emotions, and we need to declare truth over them, and we need to get to the root of the problem. And those of you that are ministering to people, don't short circuit. Don't spiritual duct tape people's emotions. Open the hood, find out what the issue is. So I feel like this is one of those messages. I do want to give you an opportunity here to let the Lord just speak to you, let you speak to the Lord. But this is going to be a message you're going to have to take with you and be challenged with. And guess who the most challenged people are going to be in the room? Those of you who have not been letting yourself feel negative emotions. It's going to feel like sin. It's going to feel wrong. It's going to feel scary. And, you know, your life might get tougher because you've been stuffing things for so long. But Jesus wants you to have life. And he wants you to deal with those things. He wants you to see what's in his heart that he already sees. Peter said, "These guys will deny you. I won't." Jesus said, "Oh yeah? I see what's in your heart. You're the only one that doesn't. You are going to deny me." We're blind to our own heart often, but our negative feelings are the warning sign. We need to honor them and treat them biblically. Amen. Can I, Connie, do you mind coming back up on keys real quick? If you need to go, I don't want to keep you here any longer than you need to be. If you could quietly go get your kids if you need to go. But I just want to give you an opportunity. If this message touched you, if it convicted you maybe, or if you know, yeah, I haven't been dealing with my stuff very healthily, I guess, healthy in a healthy way, then I want you to just come up to the front and just talk to the Lord and just be honest, okay? But make sure you have a butt, right? Make sure you have a butt. And some of you that know each other, in a couple days, you can ask your friends, do you have a big butt? It's okay, it'll be legal, right? So if you guys could, those of you that want to come up front, let me unmute you, Connie, sorry. Those of you that just want to come up front, I want to just do it quickly if you don't mind. If this message touched you or spoke to you, just come up front real quick. And then some of you that are willing, give them some moments, but then I'd love for you to come behind them and quietly pray for them. Keep coming. Come up front. These are not the only two.